B-Pod Studios.
Huh.
No, Bridesman.
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 Bridesman?
Yeah.
No, well, right.
I've seen that.
I have not.
What
I
yeah. Yeah, I know nothing.
I was at a wedding with a bridesman.
Actually,
bridesman?
Yeah. No, yeah. I have seen that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh. I get what you're saying now.
Yeah,
I was like, you know, no, it's called a groomsman, but
no,
I see
no.
what you're
yeah,
saying.
If
man.
It's one of the bride, you know, right. the bride's best right. friends, it's a man, they'll just come in and do the bridesman.
My one cousin oh, did cool. that. My one cousin yeah. actually did that. She had our other cousin, male, our cousin Brad, be the what do you call it? Not the matron of honor, obviously, but like the man of honor. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I forget the term. I forget the term.
Is he taking going to the bachelorette party and all that? That's
the guy I know did.
I don't know. I honestly
okay.
no. You know what? I think gotcha. They did a joint bachelorette party, and I might have been there, which tells me it was a good party.
Okay.
Let's get to Chuck before we talk to Paul Hudrick. Let's get to Chuck real quick in North Carolina. Yo, Chuck. Chuck. Womp womp. All right, Sam, in England. What's up, Sam?
Yo, what's up, Mark? What's up, Trey? What's up, Bob, Jamie? You guys all good?
Yeah, hey, Sam, how are you?
We're great, man. How's life across the pond?
It's good, man. I haven't been doing too much English stuff recently. I've been watching too much basketball, you know.
Good.
Sixers going well, so can't miss those. And the times are really good now. So I'm watching them all the time. 4-hour time difference at the moment. And now we're good and we're not in the process era no more. Times are much better, like 12:30, 1:30. Your time means it's much earlier for me, so I thought I'd call up and talk a bit of Sixers.
Yeah, by all means, Sam, the floor is yours. What do you think of the 10-9-8-76ers?
Well, I've been a fan for years, and I'm sure Jamie and Bob remember I've come over and I come watch yeah. games and during the process there, and I think a lot of criticism goes to Brett Brown, but I wanted to give him some big ups for today. I think yesterday he coached the game really well, and even the double timeout at the time, I was like, what are you doing? But I think he actually wanted to just double check everyone was on the same page, you know, on the same page, and make sure the play for Butler was going to work. Especially, I think after last time with Butler, you know, sorting out, you know, like he did after that game against the Bulls. So I think he deserves a lot of credit. I didn't know what you guys thought of that. I've kind of listened to the last half hour, but I haven't heard too much from Brett. So I just wanted to make sure that. Well, give him some props.
Yeah, it's the type of situation where when they win, you know, there's not a lot to say because Brett's not getting the heat that other people are always giving him after every single loss, whether justified or not. Yeah. But last night, the double timeout, we talked about this a little bit ago, to advance the ball because they only had a couple of seconds left, I believe, to get it across half court or on the shot clock. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, really, I loved how we got Embiid on Giannis as well. I think that was a really good move. And I think that, you know, going forward, I'm quite confident we can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I know a lot of the time, you know, all of you guys and all the shows have said about that being the aim, and I'm fully behind that. But I know Brett sometimes get a bit of criticism for, you know, not maybe calling the right play or doing the right thing. But I think that's there. And I think the next step now is to win on Wednesday against the Celtics and get that over that hump, because I hate losing to them. You know, I hate losing to Dallas and I hate losing to Celtics. They're the two teams I hate the most. I hate them as much as I hate my soccer rival team in England. You know, I hate those teams, so I really want to get that win on Wednesday.
Good stuff, Sam. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate you checking in.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, you as care. Well. Look, hey, we're global, Trey.
There you go.
We're global.
There we go.
Across the pond. On the line with us right now from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Help us dissect all things 76ers. Mr. Paul Hudrick's on the line with us. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, Mark. What's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Just hanging out at work, per usual. Paul, now, you're right for NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. Of course, we see you on Sixers Outsiders from time to time. Here's the headline. Now, do you write the headline, or is the headline written by somebody else?
It depends. I make my suggestions, and sometimes they go through, sometimes they don't.
All right, now here's the headline to your story right now on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. Latest version of the Sixers shows how dangerous it is in win versus the NBA's best in the Bucks. Is that your writing or somebody else?
That is my writing. That is the crux of the story. So it is my opinion. Yeah.
Well, you are a brilliant man, because Paul, this has been my point throughout the show today. It might not be the fourth version of the 76ers, but it's not that far off, considering Jimmy Butler seems to be back in that scorer's role as opposed to facilitator's role for the first time since this starting five has been together, and albeit only the seventh time they've played together. But this version of Jimmy Butler, what we saw yesterday, was really, maybe against the Kings, was the first time we saw him really take over a game in the fourth quarter since this starting five came together.
Yeah, I mean, he's done this in the fourth quarter before, where he's kind of had these games where he kind of has closed them out. And I think that's the role that he is fitting perfectly into. I think Brett has mentioned that that's a role that he fits perfectly into. Obviously, you wanted to see him do it more during games, and he has done that a little more recently. But, you know, what I kind of wrote in the story was that when you have five that are this good, that are this offensively gifted, it's not going to be all those guys having big nights every night. You know, Tobias Harris was quiet. So now are we going to start a narrative that Tobias Harris should be shooting more? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, when you have guys that are this good, sometimes it's going to be other guys' night. Like yesterday, Redick was the one who really kind of got them going. I mean, Joel Embiid is Joel Embiid. The guy's going to get a ton of shots. He's their best player. They go through him. So, like, that's always going to be a given. But, you know, Redick was the guy who had that high hand early and who kind of got the offense going. And then, you know, Butler was the guy who really closed it out at the end of the game. And Simmons was quiet. Tobias Harris was kind of quiet. So, you know, Jimmy Butler, yeah, it's definitely encouraging to see him be more aggressive and take more shots, especially in that fourth quarter role. And I think another thing is, you know, when you look at fourth quarters of basketball games, that's when the things get, you know, they get a little bit ugly, they get a little bit dirty, and they get more of that ice ball. And that's where Jimmy Butler really excels. So I think that's a big part of why you're seeing this fourth quarter success from them, too.
Are the Sixers just a really good matchup for the Bucks right now with their starting five going against their starting five, especially with Brogdon being out?
It is. I mean, that is a bit, I think, you know, as far as when you look at the top teams, when you look at, you know, the Bucks, the Raptors, Celtics, I think the Bucks are probably the best matchup for the Sixers as far as personnel goes. But with that said, this is still a really impressive win over, you know, the team with the best record in the NBA. So, yeah, the matchup-wise, it does help. That's a big part of basketball in general. And if they do see the Bucks in the playoffs, that's, you know, that's going to be a really interesting and, I think, a good matchup for the Sixers. But, you know, we'll see. With this, again, with this third version of this team, I don't know how it's going to match up against the Raptors. And I have a good idea how it's going to match up with the Celtics quite yet.
Well, speaking with Paul Hudrick of NBC Sports Philadelphia.com and the My Teams app as well. Paul, back to Jimmy Butler. Whose idea was it for Jimmy kind of go back into that scorer's role? Was it Brett Brown telling him to go to that direction, or was it Jimmy just kind of, I don't know, feeling that the flow of the game?
Well, Brett's been wanting him to be like, and he said this several times. I think the expression he has used is he wants Jimmy to put his thumbprint more on games earlier. And he's been asked that several times, and every time he has said, yes, I would like him to start doing this earlier in games. And, you know, what Brett also said was it's going to take three things. It's Brett putting him in better situations, it's his teammates recognizing him, and then it's Butler himself stepping into the role and being more aggressive and realizing that he needs to, at times, take over and do that. What I think it was is, a part of it is just a feel thing. I think he was, you know, it's taken him a while, but he had to feel out, you know, he's never been with players this talented on a basketball team. You know what I mean? He says, so much talent around him that I think he was feeling it out. And then you add, you know, more recently you add Tobias Harris into that mix, and that adds even more talent into that, and he's got to figure that out even more. So I think it's just a matter of him getting comfortable and him, you know, he's a guy who's kind of always picked his spots. He's more efficient than a high-volume shooter guy, so I think that's a big part of it.
Paul, with this new unit that we're talking about, do you get the feeling, or has Brett said anything about his defensive philosophy maybe changing a little bit? Because yesterday we saw a lot of, I think before he's always running people off the three-point line, making them dribble penetrate, feeding them into Joel. Yesterday it was kind of a packed-in zone almost where they gave up a ton of wide-open threes. Milwaukee didn't make many, but not doubling Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, I'm wondering if he's going game by game, if something's changed. Has he said anything to you guys that are there on pretty much a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, he has said that he doesn't want to show teams the same look, you know, every game and for every minute of every game. He said as they get closer to the playoffs, he does kind of want to show people different looks. And obviously you saw early, which I thought was really outside the box and interesting, was having Joe on Giannis early in the game. And it seemed that actually early in the game, he was kind of a little confused by it. I mean, obviously he goes nuts in the second half, which is going to happen from the time to time when a guy is that talented. But, you know, I think what you're seeing with Brett, and I think it's encouraging considering their defense has been really up and down all year, is that Brett is really trying different things and he's looking for different things to work. Now, if that's going to be your identity of we're just going to pack the paint and we're going to die by the three, if that's the thing, you know, that's not the worst strategy in the world. I know the game has changed to the point where the three-pointer is basically, you know, kind of, you know, taken over. But at the same time, you know, I'd rather have the Bucks taking 52 threes or whatever they took yesterday. And, you know, if Giannis is going to score 52 points and the other rest of the team, you know, it's going to be 53s, that's the game I'd rather die with. I'd rather have them have to make you know, 40% of those 53s than just get easy buckets in the paint. And, you know, if that's the strategy they're going to go with the playoffs, it's not the worst one.
When you look at all these guys kind of coming together, if they're going to go this direction, and they kind of have to right now, but with, what, 13 games left in the season now after this one, is it going to be enough time for all these guys to get on the same page? Like, do you think they can actually put it together, get on the same page, and play more like they did against the Bucks going forward, especially when they have the Celtics coming up Wednesday night?
Yeah, well, it's 12 games, actually.
12 games now.
We are down to 12 games. So, but, I mean, this is just the seventh game, like you said, with them together, and so there's still obviously things to figure out. There's still a lot. There's going to be hiccups, and even when you look at beyond the starting lineup, you know, when you look at the reserves, the last two games, this is the first time that it was the actual rotation with, you know, James Ennis. I think has pretty much solidified that role as that perimeter wing player. He's won that tournament that Brett was talking about before, you know, and you know Mike Scott, outside of those two kind of boneheaded plays that he made at the end of the games, he's been excellent for them. He's been a really good fit. As a guy who can just hit threes, he's really versatile on defense. He's tough. You know, he's a perfect kind of playoff player. So when you look at what their bench is looking like, this is probably more what it looks like going into the playoffs. So when you factor all of that in, you know, this is still such a new thing. So can they get it all together in 12 games? I don't know. I mean, this is certainly an encouraging sign to beat the best team in the NBA. If they beat the Celtics, that's going to be a really encouraging sign. But I hope fans aren't, I know this is a thing that Philadelphia does, and I hope that we're not doing this, is the, you know, that they're going to, if they lose to the Celtics, that it's not just going to be like, oh, well, they lost to the Celtics, so there's no way they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, it would be urging for sure if they lost, but, you know, it's not indicative of how far I think they're going to go in the playoffs.
Oh, Paul, no, it's not just going to be just fans. I'm going to be lighting the world on fire. Like, if they lose to the Celtics on Wednesday night, I'm going to lose my mind, Paul. You'll have to do a story on me blowing a gasket, my friend. But as it sits right now, 76ers would face off against the Pistons. There's a chance they can still face the Celtics in the first round. There's a chance they can still face the Nets in the first round. So I'm going to ask you this here. This is the last one for me, at least, Paul. When you look at the Sixers versus the Celtics, right now, are the Sixers able to beat the Celtics? Do you see this team coming together enough to the point where they'll actually be able to down the Celtics finally?
I think that because, like, we keep talking about the Sixers 3.0, this is a different team, man. This is not the same team that had that lost on opening night. This is not the same team that lost by one, that lost in overtime on Christmas. This is not the same team that just lost by 3 points. You know what I mean? This is a different basketball team. So for me to, you know, to say really, for me to say either way is probably unfair, but if you had to, like, if I have to answer, I would say they can. I mean, they look like a better team right now than the Boston Celtics. Now, when that matchup happens, does that mean they're definitely going to beat the Celtics? I don't know. But I'm just saying that this is not the same team that was in the playoffs against them last year, and not the same team that has played them three times already this season. So can they beat them in a playoff series? I think they have a good chance, absolutely.
I hear you, but all I'm hearing, all I'm going to try to take away from this is that you're guaranteeing, Paul Hudrick is guaranteeing that the Sixers will beat the Celtics. Thank you, Paul.
Yes, that's totally what I said. Yeah.
Paul, Josh Harris came out, I guess it was probably about 10 days ago, maybe 2 weeks, and it was kind of pushed aside a little bit, and maybe it's because Brett didn't want to talk about it, but he did say that he is anticipating getting further than where they were last year, which would mean winning two playoff series. Have you guys approached Brett about that, or has Brett talked of that at all since Josh Harris said that?
Yeah, I don't think, to be honest with you, I can't remember him approaching it directly, but I know that Brett himself has said, basically since Tobias Harris, since that trade happened, he basically has put pressure on himself. He said, it is now on me. You know, he said it's, he said, I can't remember the exact phrase, but it was something to the effect of, he doesn't look at it as pressure. He looks at it more of like a responsibility and an opportunity, from here on out to try, you know, because he has so much talent now that, you know, they have to do something. Like he understands it. You know what I mean? You know, Brett's a sharp guy, and, you know, he knows that what he has, and he knows the expectations, and he knows the city's on fire right now with his team. So while he hasn't addressed the Harris stuff directly, he's got a really good idea that, you know, there is definitely some pressure on him going into the playoffs.
Paul Hudrick, NBC Sports Philadelphia, we appreciate you coming on with us. As always, you can follow Paul on Twitter, @PaulHudrick. Always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, take it easy, Paul. Appreciate it, man. I say this team is going to beat the Celtics on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think this team knows what they're up against. I think they know that having Joel out against the Hornets, he gets that rest. Bob's feeling in his basketball tingles that Jimmy Butler might not play. Somebody else might not play in this game to get a break before the Celtics game. It is a back-to-back. They play the Sixers will play Tuesday, then again Wednesday. So I still think this is going to be the night where they really put the exclamation point at the end of this sentence. And they just go after the Celtics and they win that game. Not going to say it's going to be a blowout, but I think this Sixers team has a lot more to prove than the Celtics. And I feel like this is a game they win.
I do. I think they're gearing up for it. I really do. The fact that they're sitting Joel tomorrow night, I think they mentally need to have this game. I think the Joel Embiid, the J.J. Redick, T.J. McConnell, the guys that have been here through last year, they need to know what it feels like to beat this Celtics team.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And I think this is the game where they actually do it. They finally do it.
I would say it's a very big one for Brett Brown.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the team, obviously. But I think Brett, personally, I think he needs to get over a little bit of hurdle.
That's who we're going to be focusing on.
Unfortunately for Brett, because Brad Stevens has had his number so far.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to see.
I'll give you over under if they lose. Over under Thursday morning.
Oh, boy.
How many times does Brett Brown's name get mentioned in the same sentence as fired?
As a lines maker, I'll set it at 16 and a half.
Easy. I'm taking the over. Yeah, I'm taking the over.
Easy.
Chuck in North Carolina. Do we have you, Chuck?
Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
No worries, buddy.
I'm kind of a customer. Last night, I loved the game. I just couldn't wait to see it. I was middle of moving, so I was trying to catch times and had my earbud in. But I'm going to tell you something. The announcers ruined the game for me. They were so pro-Bucks. Even at the end, I mean, they're like, hurry, Bellum, hurry. And I'm just like, why don't you just call a two-sided game? I know the Bucks are playing well, but the 76ers are here, and Philly just can't get any love. Do you
really
agree?
No, Chuck. I am the worst person, admittedly. I'm the worst person to talk about announcers with because having worked in the national TV industry for so long, like all that the national announcers really care about is the rating and making their flight after the game. That's really all they care about. Now, Hubie Brown I actually like, and I thought he was really complimentary of Joel Embiid throughout the game. And a lot of times I just tune out the announcers. Sometimes things will jump out at me. But a bias didn't jump out to me in this one.
Okay, well, maybe it's just the parts that I didn't get to watch the entire game. I did watch, but I really felt like really actually towards the end, I felt like it was more like they really wanted the Bucks to win. But maybe I just have a different opinion about that. But
Chuck, I mean, the other part of it is, I mean, Giannis scored 35 in the second half. I mean, what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Well, we got to shut down them guys. We can't let them.
No, you're right. But from an announcer standpoint, like, what are you going to do? Like, not acknowledge how great he is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I understand that. And Joel Embiid, I thought, shot about 10 three-pointers too many. But, you know, that's a Joel Embiid, and I like him. And I thought Butler stood up. You know, everybody last week said, hey, man, we really need to see Butler. I really believe he showed up last night. And I really think we can get far. I think we can get to the Eastern Conference Finals and really give it a run for the finals.
I think they can, too, Chuck. But here's the thing with that I will say about Brett Brown. It's something I just flat out, I don't believe. And thanks for the call, man. I'll put you on hold, put you in the running for our Sixers tickets. But if this was what Brett Brown wanted, and Paul said this when we had him on a second ago, if this is what Brett Brown wanted, this version of Jimmy Butler, then why not have the ball in his hands the last time they played the Celtics, when they played the Celtics on Christmas? Because remember, the ball was in JJ's hands at the end of that game. It wasn't in Jimmy's hands yet. And I know that was before the trade deadline, it's a different team and all that, but even more so, if I wanted to see this version of Jimmy Butler more often, he should be my closer. And remember, he went to JJ at the end of that game. He didn't go to Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler had already won you two games, having the ball in his hands at the last second. Mm. So, like, that's where I think is a little contradictory.
It's a legitimate question.
I ask legitimate questions, Bob. That's what I aim for. And that's what I'm looking at with Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. I see a guy that can take over that game. We saw him yesterday, Trey. Mm-hmm. We saw him against the Bucks. He did that in the fourth quarter. 17 he rattled off.
Yeah.
I'll take that from him every single game. Anybody would. But if it really was Brett Brown saying, Jimmy, sit back, facilitate more than create for yourself. If that was the coaching order, I don't get it. But looking at how Jimmy Butler has played, especially over the last two games, then hearing Brett Brown say this is the version of Jimmy Butler we need to win, plain and simple, does that mean that Brett was experimenting with other things to see how it would work with these five guys together? Or does that mean that he just thought that would best serve the team game by game? to have Jimmy Butler facilitate?
Yeah, it's a great question. I when they first got these guys, we all said that he's got to tinker. He's got to figure it out. Yes. He's got to see it. And one of the tinkerings he did was he took Ben Simmons off the ball and he put Jimmy Butler on it. And a lot of us were, wow, I like that. Look, they're putting Ben Simmons down low a lot more often and creating a lot of mismatches. Now, that day that you're talking about, Christmas Day, Butler did jack up 21 shots. It is odd that he didn't. Yeah.
And he didn't get the last one.
Yeah.
And he never goes over 20 shots.
I don't remember specifically. Yeah, they lost in overtime.
Yes.
Oh, JJ missed the shot at the buzzer. That could have won it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it should have been in my...
And
my
it was an open shot, right?
And he missed it. Plank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plank. Wide open.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you get on Brett for not going to Butler, or do you give Brett praise for designing a wide open shot? I don't know, you know.
It's a situation where JJ makes the shot, Brett's a genius.
Uh-huh. And,
but still, try not to do the hindsight thing. You try to call it as you see it. And as I'm seeing it unfold in front of me, and I see JJ, they run a play for JJ, I'm like, well, wait a minute, where's... Jimmy's the guy that won the game against the Nets. He won the game against, who was it, the Grizzlies? Get the ball, because it's when Kemba went off for like 63 or
Charlotte.
Whatever. Charlotte. Yeah. Then I want to see the ball in Jimmy Butler's hands at the end of the game. Now, the ball wasn't in his hands to win the game here against the Bucks, but in the fourth quarter, that's where he took over.
I think you will. I think Jimmy's kind of been, I don't want to say pacing himself, but I think playoff Jimmy will be different than regular season Jimmy.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
No. I think he's got that, like, as Trot used to say, that dog in him.
All right.
And I think he's going to be full force shot out of a cannon in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's starting to rev it up now. He's starting to turn it on.
Because he's a vet, and he understands the pacing of the year and kind of saving yourself a little bit. I really do think he's going to be a guy you don't want to see if you're the opposition in the playoffs.
I hope so.
I think he's going to be relentless on D. Like, when you watch him on D, because one of the things this year, I was like, I always thought he was a little bit of a better defender than he's been this year.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I think about it, I think he's just pacing himself.
Yeah, he's been pacing himself.
There was a couple times yesterday where it might have been Antetokounmpo, it might have been somebody else, where they were dribble driving in the lane and trying to use drop steps, whatever it may be, and he just did a terrific job of keeping his body in front of the guy. And so instead of like an up and under or a pivot move for a layup, the guy had to fade back and shoot like a 7-footer fadeaway. And I see those flashes of really good defense that you're talking about, James.
I think yesterday was his playoff mode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he viewed that as a playoff game. I think he's going to do the same thing on Wednesday night.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And one of the most crucial points of the game was when that bucket he had over Giannis, where he just took it right at him. And it was at that point where it was like the Bucks had made a little run. It was getting down to like 5 points with not a lot of time left. If they don't get a bucket there, it's like one of those, oh, we really needed to stop the bleeding. And he got it for you. I thought it was the biggest play of the game, like up there.
Yeah, it certainly was up there. But here's the other thing. And speaking about things on the broadcast yesterday, they got a shot of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid sitting on the bench together. And they're like laughing. They're like high-fiving. Close game, right? And Jimmy Butler's there, maybe one seat removed from JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like no smile on his face. Laser focus.
I said that to my buddy, right?
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I was like, what? Is he pissed off at something?
Yeah, so you know the play I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly. It looked like Ben Simmons was sitting on one of those high seats because he was higher than the other two.
Yeah.
And he had Joe to his left and Ben to his right. And, he and Joe were laughing and, like, they smashed hands. And then Jimmy's sitting there just looking off in the... I think he was looking at Martha Stewart wondering if she was getting another drink.
Yeah, we don't know if it was Martha Stewart.
It was definitely Martha Stewart.
It wasn't. But I like the story. It definitely is better if it was Martha Stewart that Mike Scott was taking a drink and Jack Daniels from.
Yes.
Could you see Martha Stewart going up to like the in arena like bar area? Yeah. Sixers have what, the Corona Beach Club?
Uh-huh.
And it's like going up there, hey, double Jack neat? Thanks.
Yeah.
Milwaukee has a nice one too there, right? Right in the middle of the, right before you get on the court, just beautiful.
And Bob found a bar, ladies and gentlemen.
No. I was working, but I had to walk through it to get to where my area was to sit.
Really? Yes.
Hold on. I was there.
Do they know what they're doing in Milwaukee? They're having the media walk through a bar?
Yeah,
How do you ever get to the media room?
It's tough. But somehow you'd be shaking your computer, being in your hand, like,
A little bit of a detour.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Wide open board for if you want to get in the running for our Sixers tickets taking on the Nets March 28th. Now, coming up, two things happened over the weekend. One was actually on Friday, and it's the moment that the earth stood still. Philly's Nation stood still. Play it for you coming up in a few. And Jamie Lynch has a letter from an NFC East football team combating St. Patrick's Day. That's BS, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Time of the Fanatic, 9:24.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, Farzetta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. So we mentioned earlier some people enjoyed the festivities that was St. Patrick's Day in the city. I live next to an Irish pub.
Green people everywhere.
I've had my fill of the fiddle for the foreseeable future.
Enough fiddle?
Enough fiddle, okay. Yes. Yeah, and green top hats or whatever those hats are called. Yeah, I'm good with those. Thanks very much. But there was one NFC.
There's no Irish shaming here.
What's that?
There's no Irish shaming.
I'm not shaming. Jamie wasn't even going to go out.
You're done with the green hats?
I am done with the green hats.
Can we have our day? I mean, you claim to have discovered America. Like, can't we just have one day?
Yes.
Am I right, Trey?
Stolen Valor by Christopher Columbus.
I'm going to go ahead and say I think most Italian Americans are backing off that stance for a while. We're just like, we'll have our parade.
We recognize he stole valor.
Yeah, and they got it. We throw spaghetti at each other and we call it a day. It's totally fine.
I discovered it. I mean, there was people living here, but whatever.
Yeah.
Well, secondary.
When I explain marketing to people, when I have to go talk to communications classes or whatever, and they would get into marketing and all that, I'm just like, well, Columbus discovered America because he had the best marketing campaign.
Yeah, basically.
Like, basically, he went to Europe and was like, hey, guys, check this out.
Leif Erikson, he never found anything.
No. Even though he was here about 400 years earlier. Whatever.
Facts. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Exactly.
No, not at all.
By the way, the biggest, while we're on the subject, the biggest thing that makes us hypocrites is that, like, the Italians were like, yeah, Chris, we're not paying for this. And he was like, oh, mi scusi. And then he, like, goes over to Spain and he's like, che cosa? And they're like, yeah, we'll pay for it, sure. And he's like, cool! And then we still try to take credit for, like, discovering America.
Frauds.
So he talked Italian the whole time until it came to cool!
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Oh, cool is universal. People get right. that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Did he raise his thumb up, too, like I just did? Totally. Like an idiot?
Totally did. And then he took a selfie and he posted it on Instagram. And then he went and hung out with his friends, the Nina. So people indulging in St. Patrick's Day yesterday, having themselves a good time. But the Washington Redskins, Jamie, did what?
They took to Twitter and really just annoyed me. So they put out this tweet yesterday. It says, dear loyal blank fan. I'm not going to say their team name because their team name is racist.
That's right.
I, as Jamie Lynch, I am going to stop saying that. That's my goal for the 2019 year. I'm going to say football team in Washington.
Okay, well, we all have
goals.
So,
dear loyal blank fan, this is your excuse, to not wear green for St. Patrick's Day. As a diehard fan, we know the struggle this, in quotes, holiday puts you in. We don't want you to wear green, and we know you don't want to either. So if someone comes up to you and pinches you because you're wearing something beautiful like burgundy and gold, instead of some awful green color, we give you permission to pinch back. We hope our rivals in New York and the middle of North Texas area take part in our boycott as well. Love the Washington blank football team. P.S. Please pinch responsibly.
So hold on a second. Because the Eagles wear green, they're boycotting green on a quote unquote holiday.
Yes.
First off, it's a holiday.
Why are they in quotations? That irked me more than anything else.
Yeah, that's offensive. Now they're upsetting two races.
Yeah.
Native Americans and Irish people.
Yeah.
They're your faux holiday.
Creeps. And corny creeps on top of it.
Now they're paying Case Keenum out the wazoo now. Landon Collins.
They're bringing in Eric Flowers. We are laughing.
This is a little bush league.
I love the hate, though. You know, I'm glad
they love
hate.
The hate.
Yeah, I'm glad they hate right now, man. They, like you say, butt hurt.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go. They're big butt hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they big time butt hurt. I thought it was a joke that you put on Slack the other day, Jamie, when I read the story. And then I realized it was real. And it was, it's like a document, Bob. Mm-hmm, it's like a memo.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just a tweet, obviously, because there's way too many characters. No. But they're legitimately saying because the Eagles wear green, they have ruined St. Patrick's Day for everybody else.
Yeah.
They're just not getting into this.
By the way, would it be an ultimate troll job if we just started referring to the Washington Redskins as the Washington Warriors? Like what they might change their name to anyway.
Was that up for discussion?
I think that was one of the suggested names for a name change. Like if you look at their logo, from what I understand, as I've heard it described by Native American nations, whatever, it's like it's the logo, like it looks authentic. But like then you look at Chief Wahoo or what's his name?
Wahoo was the Indians one.
It was the Indians one. That was racist as hell.
Yeah, I don't know what the Redskin. Oh, damn, I just did it.
You horrible human.
I'm trying.
No, what I'm saying is like their logo is actually like what you see in like paintings and stuff.
Yeah.
And old paintings.
Okay.
But Chief Wahoo, you don't see that. That's why they got rid of it.
No. Okay.
But that would be
sounds like Chief Osceola, that at Florida State.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah, that's Florida State.
Okay.
Yeah. Chief Osceola.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It was not like that.
Okay.
Although I haven't seen a picture of Chief. Don't they have a gentleman on a horse?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
They got the badass spear down there?
Yeah. You come out there and he.
The Seminoles?
Osceola's a county down there, too, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. He throws it into midfield, right? Before the game?
Yeah. Throws it in the
midfield. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's fun. And we all meet out at the hashes at the numbers and we jumping around all crazy and everything.
Wait, the spear's on fire?
I thought the spear.
Yeah, it's on fire, right?
Yeah.
You guys light it on fire?
Yeah. They like the fire. And he comes out there and he rides the horse bareback.
Like a boss.
Yeah, just, you know.
Do you guys have any pregame brawls down there when you were there?
Yeah, you had a couple where you had,
Florida.
Miami, Florida, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of got a little chippy.
Nice. I always like a good college pregame brawl.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for one.
Then I was a captain. They brought me back to be an honorary captain for the Florida State, Florida game, and I got kicked out the coin toss.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, who'd you go at it with?
How do you get kicked out of the coin toss?
We're going to need this
story.
They bring you out to shake hands and everything, you know.
Right.
And the dude didn't want to shake my hand. The guy that
a
played.
Player?
A
Florida player?
Yeah, Florida player.
Do you remember who?
I don't know. And we started having a couple words and one of the.
How old were you?
This was
a few years out, or
No, this is probably about 6 years ago.
You go back as an honorary captain.
Yeah,
and you.
I'm not
going to
say that you started trouble.
Well, no, he wouldn't shake my hand. It was you know, and I get it. I mean, as a player, I probably would have done the same. You know, if I was in Gainesville, but
what did you say to this young man?
I mean, we just, I don't know. And then, like, one of the young guys.
He wasn't a cornerback or something,
was he? No, he was a lineman.
Okay, good.
And you had one of the young guys yelling, "Oh, yeah, And they were like, "All right, get out of here."
So they bring you back as an honorary captain. Yeah. And they're like, "All right, sir, you're going to have to leave."
Yeah, I got kicked my butt. But that's awesome. Yeah.
God bless you.
Yeah, but I mean, anyway, and we lost that game, so it sucked.
Well, that's all right.
Is that like the walk of shame from midfield and like they kick you out and you go back to
I think I walked
slow. Did you just kind of wave to everybody?
I walked
a little
slow so that they could get the toss off and everybody could catch up to me,
Oh, okay.
So it didn't look too obvious that the ref, like, "Hey, get out of here."
Did somebody ask you, like, "Hey, Trey, what happened?" And you're like, "I got kicked out of this one." What did Rosa say to you?
Huh?
What did Rosa say to you?
She just was like, "Really?"
We got a story for life, buddy.
Yeah, what are you doing?
That's fantastic.
That's awesome. That is a good story.
Yeah. Anyway, moral of the story.
I'm going to find out who this other guy is.
I'm going to
dive deep into the archives of FSU coin tossers.
That might top being the bad boy of girl soccer.
That might.
All right?
That might,
right?
Bob. That might. That might
Thank
be better
you,
than
Trey.
That.
Thank you.
Oh, no, Bob, hold on. You're still the bad boy of girl soccer. South Jersey girls soccer, but this is a better story than that.
Yeah.
This definitely trumps that one. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear once again from Brett Brown after yesterday's win over the Bucks. We'll jump into that and maybe I don't know, a little bracket?
Mm-hmm.
A little bracket talk. Oh, no, this is what I wanted to get into again. The moment the earth stood still on Friday. We have that moment. We still haven't hit it for you yet. We'll let you hear Brett Brown and also the moment the earth stood still on Friday. Time of the Fanatic, 940.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
So we wait 118 days for the Phillies to sign Bryce Harper.
That's all.
That's all. Just, you know.
We're still waiting for the first hit.
Yeah, yeah.
But Friday, Trey.
Uh-huh.
Around, I guess, what would it be, 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
Bryce Harper steps to the plate at Spectrum Field in Clearwater, Florida. And there's a pitcher on the mound. Named Trent Thornton, I believe is the gentleman's name, pitching for the Toronto Blue Jays. Trent Thornton. And it's a, let's see here. It was a 1-1 count, two outs, bottom of the sixth inning. And just listen to this baseball go off the ankle of Bryce Harper.
Get on base. You got to throw this guy some.
He's had a lot of close pitches today. Oh, boy.
Hmm. Did that sound good?
No, it did not.
Bryce Harper gets x-rays. They come back negative, which, of course, are a good thing. No broken bones, no nothing. I believe he sat out, what, one game, and he was back in action yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Again, still looking for a first. But anyway.
It sounded like it was a hit.
Sounded very much like it was some solid contact there. But I did a little digging. Trent Thornton still has yet to make his Major League debut. But do you know where Trent Thornton is from?
No.
I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint here. And it has to do with yesterday. What hockey team was in action? And where were they in action? What happened in that city?
Goss is spear ahead to Couturier at center. He avoids a man. Now he's in 2-on-1. Here's Couturier. Shoots. He scores! Sean Couturier wins it with his third career overtime goal. And the Flyers, with less than 4 seconds left in overtime, come back to beat the Pens 2-1.
He's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Gotcha.
Probably a Penguins fan. Probably a fan of even the Pirates, even though he's with the Blue Jays now. But he's probably exacting revenge on all of Philadelphia. Probably. Mm-hmm. That's just my personal theory.
That sound. I like I don't like it.
And, Bryce Harper, of course, goes down like a sack of potatoes.
Yes, he did.
Comes back and he's fine, whatever. I didn't even see much of a hobble. I didn't even see much of a limp as he was the DH yesterday.
He was working out before the game doing knee lifts and all that. Uh-huh. And he had on Philly Fanatic socks.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Very nice.
Pretty cute.
Tomorrow's show, we're going to try to help out Bryce Harper a little bit. He was looking for different recommendations throughout Philadelphia.
Okay.
From restaurants to Pilates classes.
Yeah, apparently he's a Pilates guy.
I feel like that's the
It looks like it's probably good.
Yeah, Pilates is good.
It stretches you out,
right? You should definitely do Pilates.
I think
core exercises.
He should do a painting class.
Yeah, he could definitely come do
some
painting.
Get him over to Pino's Ballet.
Right? Come do some Pino's Ballet and paint.
Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Paint party with Bryce.
Yeah,
He might imbibe in the one. Might not, because he's a Mormon, and I don't know if he drinks or not. But maybe the 4 or 5 of us could sit there and watch him and have our own wine and watch him.
Yeah, but I'll paint my own picture.
Yeah.
I'll paint it.
You got to come paint, man.
I can't paint.
I will paint a portrait of Bryce Harper painting a portrait.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
He might think it's weird, but I'll just stare. I know I can get the beard right.
Beard detail?
Impeccable. It's pretty phenomenal. And then finally, I wanted to get this in one last time because this is what you want to see from Joel Embiid. The big win over the Bucks yesterday. JoJo goes 40 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists. Not too shabby, including a game-icing 3 in the closing minutes of the game to help beat the Bucks. So here's Brett Brown talking about what he saw from his big man.
The thing that maybe most stood out to me, there was a fierce level of competitiveness that he played with tonight all over the place. Like, it was at an A level. It was at a playoff level. and the physical side of things, throwing his body into things. Like, he just was extremely competitive.
From start to finish, Joel Embiid yesterday. Trey, you've talked about it before. Eye of the Tiger
is what we
had in this game yesterday.
Yeah, man, focused and ready to go, charged up. I love the way that team played yesterday.
I said it once, I'll say it again. This is another version almost of the 76ers that we're going to have to get used to seeing again, and it's going to be easy to get used to it because I believe this is going to be the best version. Now, every game they played together with this starting five, it was only the seventh time this starting five has played together since Tobias Harris was added to that starting five and Boban Marjanovic was added to the bench. They're 6-1. Their only loss comes against the Celtics. But this version of Jimmy Butler, this is the first time we really saw him play this way with that other starting five, with those other guys added. The first time in those seven games that you really saw him take over a game late. 27 points in total, chipping in 17 in the fourth quarter. He was taking it to Giannis Antetokounmpo down low. Jimmy Butler was playing like the closer that you acquired him to be early on in the season. For the first time since these seven games started with these guys playing together as one, this is the first time you saw Jimmy Butler take over.
I think that I'm an incredible human being.
And you were yesterday, especially in the fourth quarter there, Jimmy Butler. Good to see.
The referees suck.
I didn't see a problem with the refs.
I just wanted to play that.
All right. So it was great to see Jimmy Butler. It was the first time we saw Jimmy Butler play like that since these guys really got together. Seven games it took. And this is what you saw from Jimmy Butler. Hope to see more of it. Let's get our final on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Where again, Sam Wilson, we only asked. Unbiased fans.
Today we asked, who deserves to be the MVP of the NBA? Joel Embiid or Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Hey!
A star is born.
They're on fire!
Jeez.
And we have just under 3,000 votes today. Remain consistent. 60% say Joel Embiid. Unbiased opinion.
How many voters?
Just under 3,000.
I'm trying to be dumb there.
Just under 3,000 unbiased voters. That's how that works.
That probably sucks.
Takeaway. Don't insult them, JoJo. Takeaways of the day. Sam Wilson.
My takeaway is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Did I say it right again?
Yes. Okay. Very good. Couldn't be more proud of you.
Good jokes. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is keep Trey Thomas away from coin tosses.
Very good point.
He will fight you on the spot and rip your throat out.
It's no simple heads or tails there.
Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
After yesterday's performance, I see the Sixers winning 10 of their final 12.
Oh!
55-27 will be your closing record.
Very nice. Trey Thomas, takeaway of the day.
Man, Martha Stewart goes hard in the paint.
It wasn't Martha Stewart. Last time I'm telling you.
Martha likes that weed, too.
Yeah, know what I'm saying.
Yeah. You
know,
prison changes a girl.
Yeah, man. Martha parties.
Martha goes hard in the paint, man.
I mean, if you were going to, like, a weed party, what's better than to have Martha Stewart there?
Yeah, right?
I'm just coming out the store.
Bring
a nice
quiche.
Kitchen. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Make me some brownies, Martha.
Yes. Martha Stewart goes hard in the paint, man. I mean, come on.
All because one person tweeted me it was Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
It wasn't Martha Stewart's Jack Daniels that Mike Scott was sipping on during the game yesterday.
It was at Martha Stewart.
Now I totally forget my takeaway of the day. I can't remember what the hell it was. Damn it. My takeaway of the day is that if Joel Embiid is going to score 40 points, get 15 rebounds and 6 assists in a game, and you're going to beat the number one team in the NBA, then by golly, before every game, I hereby decree that Joel Embiid should have a chocolate cake shoved in his face, because that is the good luck charm right there. Stay tuned for Jason and Anthony on Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.